The reading is Isaiah 5, chapters 1 to 7, and it's on page 484 of the Church Bibles. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge and it will be destroyed. I will break down its walls and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress.
Excuse me. Got my new toy here, and I might, almost going to crash, but I have got my helmet on, I hope you notice. And I have got my new favourite thing here to show you all. Look at this. This is what everybody will be on this summer, with these little sort of additions to it. I'm borrowing this off Katie Russell, who is a goddaughter of mine, and I am enjoying myself immensely on this scooter. She's lent it to me. She said I could borrow it for a while, which is very kind of her. But I'm sort of enjoying it so much that I'm beginning to think I'm not going to give it back to her. I'm beginning to think of ways in which I can keep it for myself. So, for instance, I think that perhaps when her parents ring up and say to me, Katie's quite looking forward to having a scooter back, I'm going to sort of get my mobile phone out, if I can, and I'm going to pretend there's no reception. I'm going to say, oh, sorry, very, very bad line here. No. And, not give it back. That's one idea. Another idea is to hide it, which I think is quite a good one. So I'll run away whenever I see any member of the Russell family, and I'll hide it. Okay, sometimes to hide myself because I'm nearly big enough. Sometimes I might have to find somewhere to hide it, but I might hide it. That's another thought. Or what I could do, and I think this is quite sneaky, I could pretend that actually it's mine. That although Katie thinks this is hers, I got an orange scooter for Christmas. And I've got exactly, just a coincidence, exactly the same teddy bear on the front of mine. She might think it's hers, but really, it belongs to me. These are all things I'm thinking about doing, because to be honest, I like this scooter. I want it for myself. I don't want Katie to have it back. Now, who thinks, we're going to do a bit of a vote here, who thinks that would be okay? Always one or two, but mainly, the good news is that the moral compass of this church is in the right direction. Most people think that would be a bad thing to do. Why would that be a bad thing to do? Because somebody shout out, why it would be a bad thing for me to keep this sort of scooter and pretend it's my own? Why would that be a bad thing to do? Somebody help me here by shouting out why that would be a wrong thing to do. It's stealing. Ruth, thank you very much indeed. It would be stealing. It's taking something that actually belongs to Katie Russell and pretending it's my own. Now, if I go ahead with this rather cruel plan, denying a goddaughter of mine her scooter, what do people think should happen to me? What should happen, first of all, to the scooter? Any sort of ideas on that one? Somebody shout out a nice punishment for me? Anybody do a shout? Sorry, prison? Thank you. That's very quick off the mark there. There's no going to be fines or anything. Straight to prison. What should happen to the scooter? What should happen to the scooter? It should be taken back, shouldn't it? It should be taken back to Katie, and Katie should be able to get to use her scooter, because after all, it is hers. It's not mine. I was just borrowing it. Okay. Now, I want us all to remember our answers to those questions, because we're going to need similar answers to similar questions as we turn to look at today's passage. And you'll find that the passage we're going to look at from God's Word, the Bible, on your sheets. And what would be really handy is I've often noticed that parents aren't very good, or adults aren't very good at sort of following along the Bible readings. So if you are a child who's sitting with an adult, your job is to make sure that this week they really properly follow it. So if necessary, move your finger along, because adults sometimes lose concentration. Make sure that they are following this story for themselves, because I'm going to need all your help in a second and ask you some questions once I've read Matthew 21 for us. This is Jesus speaking, and it's what we often call a parable, which means it's a story, but it's a story with a message. And one of our jobs today is to work out what the message of this story that Jesus told is. Listen in. Jesus said, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, he dug a wine press in it, and he built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, they killed another, and they stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Jesus asked, therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He'll bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and he'll rent the vineyard to some other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruits. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. Well, what a story. A story that Jesus told. And it'd be lovely to just to check we all read it. And so I've got some questions here. If you know the answer, please shout it out. What had God lent? What had God lent the people in that story? It wasn't a scooter. Just make that quite clear right at the beginning. But what had God lent his people in that story? Anybody willing to come up with an answer for me? Anybody? What had God lent his people? Can be a nice deep voice or a high voice. Vineyard. A vineyard, Tim Locke. You get a prize later. A vineyard. Yeah, so down in verse 33, we learn that God had, as it were, built this fantastic vineyard, which is somewhere where you grow grapes so that adults can get a really nice drink called wine, which adults like, but children probably better understand to be quite horrible. Okay? So a vineyard. Thank you. And what did these people do when God asked for some of the grapes, when God asked for the grapes that were his because he'd lent them the vineyard? What did they do? Did they send the grapes off in the post? Anybody willing to tell me what these people did when God asked for some of his grapes? Anybody at all? He killed the servants, yeah. So God sent some servants, and the first lot of them were beaten up, verse 35. Then God sent some more servants, and they were beaten up. And then they planned to kill even his son. So God thought to himself, well, you know, they've killed my servants, but surely they wouldn't kill my son, my own son. And the answer is down there in verse 37 and 38. Yes, they will. In fact, the fact that it is the son gets them really excited, because they think once they killed him off, this vineyard that really belongs to God and his son will actually belong to them. Now, is that sort of behavior, this is vote again, is that sort of behavior okay? Anybody think that this sort of behavior towards the God who had made this vineyard and given this vineyard to his people, is that okay? It is not okay, is it? And why isn't it okay? Well, because in exactly the same way as it would be wrong for me to take this scooter and pretend it's mine because actually it belongs to Katie, it's wrong for these people to take what is God's, the vineyard, and pretend it belongs to them. That is wrong. It would be stealing, as we found out earlier. And what did we decide should happen to me? Well, we decide I should be taken away and put in prison. What do we say should happen to the scooter when it's been freed from my clutches? It should be returned to Katie. And what do we learn should happen down in this story, in verse 41? Well, the crowd listening in say, well, God shall bring these wretches to a wretched end. They should be carted off to prison. And the vineyard should be given to other people who are actually treated as it should be treated, as something belonging to God. That's the story that Jesus told. And we now need to work out why Jesus told this story. Because I don't think he had a problem with a scooter. Okay? He wasn't trying to get his scooter back from one of these people listening in, one of these religious leaders. Now, he was trying to make another point. Jesus told this story to this group of people, this group of religious leaders listening in, because his Father God had lent part of his world, had lent a vineyard to the people of Israel, to the sort of people he was talking to, he was telling this story to. And we know that he's talking about them, and we know he's talking about the land he gave them because of that bit of the Old Testament we had read to us from Isaiah, that reading that Meredith read for us a few moments ago. He'd lent them part of his world. But like me and the scooter, they quite liked this part of God's world, and they decided that they would like it for themselves. And when God asked them to remember that it belonged to them, they sort of ignored him. They sort of pretended when God was talking to them that the reception was quite bad and they couldn't quite pick out what he was saying. They ran away from him. They hid his word away, quite literally. And they pretended it was theirs. They pretended that this land was actually theirs. And they did, as a result, what they wanted to, without any regard to the God who had given them it. In fact, worse than that, they killed all the people that God sent to say, I want my land back. Remember who I am. Remember that this land belongs to me. And at this point in the Gospel of Matthew, they were about to kill God's son, Jesus, too, like the people in the story. That was their intention. That was their plan, to kill off God's own precious, dear son, Jesus. And we're told that the reason they wanted to do that was so that the vineyard would belong to them and would belong to them forever. And so the reason that Jesus tells this story is basically a bit of a warning. Now, I don't know if you've ever been given a warning. If you do that again, you'll be sent upstairs. Or have you been given a warning, if you don't listen to me now, there'll be no TV this evening? Or if you travel at that speed again, the next time it'll be a fine. That's obviously what I get on the scooter quite a lot. Ever had a warning? And the good things about warnings are they're kind things, aren't they? They're saying, if you do this, there'll be consequences. Bad things will happen. So I'm warning you so that those bad things won't happen. And that's why Jesus told this story. Even though this group of people around him are wanting to kill him, even though they'd spent years and years ignoring the God that had given them everything, God said, I want to warn you what will happen, what will be happening very, very soon. Because of your behavior, Jesus is saying to them, particularly because of your behavior at your rejection of me, the capstone, the center point of all God's plans to save his people, because of that, God is going to take away this land that he's given you, and he's going to give it to other people. And that's why they're so upset down in verses 44 and 45. They recognize that this is a really bad thing. They recognize that they want this land. They want Jesus out. But that Jesus is now saying to them, this land's going to be taken away from you. They walk away very, very cross and upset. So if you're hoping for a story with a happy ending, you came to the wrong place. No happy ending here. And at this point, it's probably quite tempting to think, thank goodness we are not like God's people back then. Thank goodness we are not as ungrateful as they were, as forgetful as they were. Thank goodness we are much better than they were. Except that we're exactly the same, aren't we? In many, many ways. We're like them with the whole of this world. God has kindly lent us this world, this planet, for a time. We're borrowing it, as it were, from him. He's lent us the mountains and the seas and the beaches and the city of Bristol. The city of Bristol is on loan to you and to me. But we want it for ourselves. We're like me with that scooter. I want it for myself. And we want this city for ourselves with no reference at all to the God who created it. And so when God asks us to remember that it belongs to him, we ignore him. We pretend that we can't quite hear him on this subject. And it's not really very clear. And the reception's not particularly good today. We run away from him. We've hidden his words. We so often know exactly what his word says. And we go and do the complete opposite. We pretend that this city belongs to us. We act as if it belongs to us. And this little story from Jesus says to us today, that is not okay. That is not okay. Because actually, this city belongs to him. Everything we've enjoyed today actually belongs to God. So think of the breakfast you had this morning. I hope it was lovely. That belongs to God. Think of the toys that you played with this morning. They really belong to God. Think of that walk across the downs this afternoon. Belongs to God. Think of that beautiful car you drove here on the way. Belongs to God. All of it, everything belongs to him. And if we refuse to remember that, if we don't heed the warning here, the reminder here that it does belong to him, God should, and God will take it all away from us too. So what should we do? Well, we need to listen to this warning. That's what all of us do, isn't it? When we hear a warning from somebody who loves us, we should, if we're at all sensible, listen to it and act on it. So we should listen and act on this warning to us that we've got to stop forgetting that everything actually belongs to God, that we're just borrowing things off him. We need to say sorry to God for ignoring him, for when he says something very clear to us, pretending that we didn't quite hear. We've got to stop running away from him, hiding from him, pretending he hasn't told us what we should do in this situation. We've got to stop pretending that this world actually is ours when it actually is his. We need to repent of the many times when we do that, just wanting to do what we want rather than what he wants. If we do that, this story can have a happy ending today. It can have a happy ending. Because amazingly, our Father God promises to forgive people when they say sorry to him. So when we go to God and we say to him, I'm really sorry for acting as if this world belonged to me. I'm really sorry for enjoying these things as if they were all my own creation rather than your creation. When we go to him and say sorry, he'll forgive us. He'll say, don't worry for another moment about that, Ed Shaw. Don't worry for another moment about that. I forgive you. And that's because, of course, his son Jesus, who we killed, has actually taken the punishment we deserved in our place. And that's why the thing we've got to do next is just to go to God and say sorry. Which is why on your service sheets, if you find them now, you'll see that there's a prayer. A prayer that we're going to pray together now. Recognizing that there's not one of us in this room that hasn't at some stage started to treat this world as if it was our own. Started to ignore God, started to run away from him, started to pretend that everything we have is our own rather than the God who created us. So have a look at that prayer. And in a moment, I'm going to read it. If you want to join in, please read along with me. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for lending us your world. Everything we enjoy belongs to you. We're sorry for all the times when we have ignored you, run away from you, pretended this world belongs to us. We deserve you to take everything away from us. So thank you for instead forgiving us because of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.